Many years ago, when Karen and I moved to Finland Valley, we started to attend a church called Finland Valley Free Church. And the minister at that time was a man called Vic Sumner. And Vic Sumner was, I think it's probably fair to say, he was old school, wasn't he? He used to wear a black clerical robe. He would always go up into the pulpit to preach on Sundays. And often he would start his sermons with a preamble. And he would start with the words, by way of introduction. He would then introduce what it was that he was going to preach about. So that's the preamble to my preamble. So by way of introduction to what I want to preach about this morning, I want to preach about Psalm 1, or the subject is Psalm 1. And the title is The Pursuit of Happiness. Now, we don't know who wrote Psalm 1. We know that the Psalms had many authors, and they were written over a period of about 1,000 years and collected together. So we don't know who wrote Psalm 1. And because we don't know who wrote it, we don't know how old they were when they wrote it. But I suspect that it was an older person. And the reason that I say that is because there is such wisdom contained in this psalm. It's the kind of wisdom that could only have come from many years of experience. It's the only wisdom that could have come from someone who has made mistakes, who has learnt these things the hard way, or who has spent many years watching other people make the very same mistakes. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that whilst we are a congregation of elders, shall we say, older folk, I suspect that there is nothing in this psalm that you don't already know, that you haven't already worked out for yourselves. If you haven't, by the way, well, you may learn something new today, but my intention is not to try to teach you something new, because I think by now we've all learnt these lessons. Rather, what I want to do this morning is not only to remind us of these things, because it's always good to be reminded of things like this, but what I'd like to suggest to you is that these, what is contained in this psalm, are the life lessons that we should be sharing with the younger generations, with those who have not yet had the time to learn these things the hard way, and perhaps if we can teach them, then they may not have to learn the hard way. So let's have a look at what Psalm 1 says. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation as opposed to the NIV or the King James. I like the way that the New Living Translation renders these phrases. So to begin in verse 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Let me just go back to that first verse. Now, in most Bibles, the word that is replaced here with the word joy is in fact the Hebrew word that we normally translate as the word blessed. And blessed is a state of being. It's a state of happiness, a state of joy, a state of peace. This is God's desire for each and every one of his children, that we might experience this state of being, that we might be blessed. Remember all of the times that Jesus taught during his lifetime about what it meant to be blessed. And here the psalmist begins with this word blessed. And I like the word that it uses as joy, because what the psalmist is trying to describe here is a happy person, a person who is blessed, a person who is experiencing joy and peace. The kind of state of being that I think we all desire to be in, but the world works so hard to prevent us from being in it. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we have here from the psalmist his advice on how to be blessed, how to be happy, how to have a joyous life. And one of the things that I find really fascinating about it is that it begins in a rather interesting way. Because it starts by describing the things that we have to decline, the things that we have to not do, rather than the things that we should do. The opening verse. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. In other words, the route to happiness starts with the things that we don't do. The people that we don't hang out with. The places where we don't go. And there's an important principle at work here. And it's a principle that I think as elders, we should be passing on to the generations coming after us. And it's this, that the only person that is responsible for your happiness is you. The universe, the world, society does not owe you happiness. Happiness is not an entitlement that you receive when someone else gives it to you. Happiness comes within your own reach when you start to take responsibility for your own actions and your own choices. Now, in case you're thinking, oh, well, that sounds a little bit negative, let me remind you that no is sometimes the first step to yes. Sportsmen and women know this only too well. And as I can see, we have a collection of athletic people here this morning. You know only too well that in order to become a successful athlete, you need to say no to certain lifestyles and food choices that would hinder your training. No one who gets up late every morning and spends all day eating junk food is ever going to run the London Marathon. Well, you might, but you won't do very well. The same principle applies to our spiritual lives. That's why Paul wrote, or the writer of Hebrews wrote, if you want to live the life that God wants you to live, you need to say no to the things that will hold you back. You see how saying no is the first step to receiving God's blessing. Saying no is the first step on being blessed by God. So the psalmist tells us a number of things to say no to. And the first thing he tells us to say no to is bad advice. Do not follow the advice of the wicked. In other words, be careful who you listen to. I've preached about this before. There are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that comes from God above, this is in James, and there's the wisdom that comes from a very different place indeed. So make sure that you follow the wisdom that comes from God. So don't take the wisdom, listen to the wisdom that comes from wicked people. There are two surefire ways to disaster. The one is not to listen to anybody. Proverbs 19:20 says that a wise person listens to good advice. The second is to take everybody's advice. There's a great Danish proverb. It probably sounds better in Danish than translated into English, but I don't speak Danish. But in English it says, he who builds by every man's advice will build a crooked house. He who builds by every man's advice will build a crooked house. In other words, be careful whose advice you listen to. Well-intentioned advice is not the same as godly advice, and we should be careful where we get our advice from. So do not follow the advice of the wicked. Secondly, be careful who you hang around with. Now, we all know this because we've learnt this the hard way, haven't we? We've all hung around with people that have got us into trouble, and so we know not to hang around with people that are going to get us into trouble. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. You see, if you walk in the footsteps of bad advice, you will soon stand amongst those who give it. So don't hang around with people that you know are going to lead you down the wrong path. Many, many, many years ago, when I was a little bit smaller than I am now, I had a friend who had a habit of getting me into trouble. He would goad me into doing things that I knew I shouldn't do. And one afternoon, we were hanging around the back streets of a Yorkshire mill town where I grew up, and we were getting a little bit bored. And we came across a garage that had this beautiful frosted glass window in it. And my friend said to me, go on, break that window. And I said, no, why would I want to do that? He said, oh, go on, don't be a chicken, break the window. And I picked up a stone, a rock. I think it was a half a brick, actually. It was quite substantial. I picked it up, and I was stood just about an arm's length from the window. So it's probably not the right distance to throw the glass window. But I pushed this brick through the window. And as the glass broke and the window dropped, it dropped like a curtain. And inside the garage was a man who was working at his workbench in front of the window. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I couldn't tell you who was the more shocked or who moved the quickest, because he was out of that garage like a shot and took me home to my dad. I got into trouble because I listened to somebody that I shouldn't have listened to. Now, we've all got stories like that, I'm sure. We all know not to hang around with people who are going to cause us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. And this is the lesson that our young people really need to understand. That you can choose the people that you associate with. And if you choose wisely and hang around with good people, life will be so much easier. If you choose badly and hang around with people that get you into trouble, you can almost guarantee you're the one that'll get into trouble, not them. My friend never got into trouble, but I always got into trouble. Thirdly then, say no to making bad decisions. I made a bad decision when I followed my friend's advice to break the window. Do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. You see, if you follow our bad advice, if you hang around with dodgy people, then there's a good thing that sooner or later your behavior is going to reflect their behavior. If you hang around with gossips, what are you going to do? You're going to become a gossip. If you hang around with cynical, judgmental people, what's going to happen? You're going to become cynical and judgmental. It's not rocket science. It's more social science, I guess. We call this peer pressure, and it's a slippery slope. You know, Peter fell into this trap. Very easy to fall into this trap. Peter fell into this trap. You see, after Jesus was arrested, Peter followed at a distance, and he found himself standing in a courtyard full of people that were all shouting and jeering at Jesus, all being hostile towards him, such that he felt he had no choice but to join in. And when they challenged him and said, oh, you're one of them, he said, no, I'm not. Three times he denied Jesus. So here's a key piece of advice that we can remember ourselves, learn for ourselves, pass on to others, is that happiness comes as much from what we don't do in order to allow us to take responsibility for and to focus on what we should do. And so verse 2, the psalmist moves into those things that into describing the things that we should do. In verse 2, a happy person, a blessed person, a joyful person is a person who is defined by what they delight in. And it says, but they delight, the blessed person delights in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Now, you've all heard me preach enough times to know what's coming next. You know what I'm going to tell you that you need to do next when it comes to the Word of God. You know, I'm going to tell you, you've got to read your Bibles. Well, this morning I want to take that one little step further. Because I think that, I don't know if it's still a thing, but there used to be a thing called the slow food movement. You remember that? Slow food movement, the idea being that you took your time eating good food to savor it and to enjoy it, rather than just gobbling down some fast food. And I think that we need a slow Bible movement. We need to be people who not only read the Word, not only read our Bibles, but do so slowly and thoughtfully and reflectively. I must confess that sometimes, you know, the first thing I do in the morning is I read Scripture. And I must confess that sometimes I just skip through it because I need to get on with the day, or I want to get on with the day. That's the wrong way to approach it, I know. We need to slow down. We need to reflect on every phrase and every word, to ask ourselves what God is saying to us through it, and then to apply it to ourselves. That's what the psalmist says when he means they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Now, I'm sure you've discovered, as I have discovered over the years, that life is so much better when you spend time meditating on God's word, listening to what God is saying, rather than listening to what other people are saying. Because with the best will in the world, other people might lead us astray. But God's word will never lead us astray. God's word is a lamp to our feet. When you can see where you're going, you will not put a foot wrong. So we delight in the Lord's word. I just want to interject with this. I'm not quite sure why I put this in, but it seemed good at the time, so I shall use it. This is Skip Hertzig. No idea who Skip is. I'm sure he's a great guy. But he says this: too many Christians have enough of God to make them decent, but not enough to make them dynamic. Now, there's a challenge, isn't there? I think that's what spending time reading God's word slowly and reflectively and intentionally is about. It's about not just becoming decent, but about becoming dynamic. So the whole point of reading the Word of God is to get to know the God of the Word. So not only is a blessed person depicted by described by what they what they delight, but also is a happy person is described by what they depict. And I love this image. This image is found a number of places in Scripture. It's found in Jeremiah and one or two other places as well. But a blessed person, a happy person, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Young man, young lady, do you want to prosper in all that you do? Of course you do. And this is where you have to look. Notice it doesn't, it says they're like trees along the riverbank. Notice it doesn't say they're like stumps or like planks of wood. You know the old expression, thick as two planks. God's people are not as thick as two planks. They are like the tree, not like the plants. You see, a tree is something that's alive. It's something that's growing. It's planted, so it has a firm foundation. It's by the river, so it has a constant source of nourishment and a source of refreshment. And it is itself a source of nourishment and refreshment because it bears fruit in season and its leaves provide shade for those who rest under its branches. And then as we come towards the end of the psalm, the psalmist gets a little blunter. He gets straight to the point here. He doesn't hold back at all. And he makes this contrast between someone who is blessed, doesn't do the things that they know they shouldn't do, does the things that they know that they should do, and someone who has that the opposite way around. They're described here as wicked. They're described as worthless chaff. They're described as being scattered by the wind. And worse than that, they will be condemned at the time of judgment. In other words, they're going to come to a sticky end. Sticky end. We don't want that for our young people. We don't want that for our friends. We don't want it for our children, for our grandchildren. We don't want it for anyone. We want them to be blessed. We want them to experience God's blessing. And I think as elders, we have a responsibility for sharing what we have learned, from Psalm 1 with those people that are just coming up. Now, after Christmas, I think Judith has already said, we're going to be looking at a series on sharing our faith. And I believe that sharing our faith is not just about telling people about Jesus. Yes, it is, and that's really important. But it's also about sharing with people how to live their lives in a way that will lead to God's blessing rather than God's condemnation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And we thank you for the lessons that we have learned, for the ways in which you have guided us. And we thank you, Lord, as we have already thanked you for your faithfulness to us. But Lord God, there are so many folk in our lives, so many of our friends and our relatives that don't know you and who's are making life a little bit more difficult for themselves than they really should. And Lord, we would desire that they would be blessed too, that they would know the things that we know, that learn the things that we have learned in following you, that they might choose to follow you themselves. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to share those things with the folk around us, with those folk in our families, those folk that don't know you yet, Lord, that they too might be blessed, that they too may come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, that they too might come to experience life in all its abundance, that they too may understand that Jesus' burden is light. So, Lord, as we have already prayed this morning, continue your transforming work within us, that we might become the people that you have called us to be, that we might be equipped to do the good works that you have prepared for us before the beginning of time, that we might lift your name, that we might see your name glorified. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.